Are you there, Taylor?
Indeed I am.
Yeah.
Aloha.
Aloha, and welcome to everyone. So grateful to be here. I haven't been able to be on these calls recently with all this crazy traveling that I've been doing. Just come to an end temporarily, which is fantastic. And it's a joy to be here today. How are you doing, Taylor? And how is everyone else doing?
Well, I had a fantastic day. I spent the day swimming with wild manatees.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's been on my list of desires, things I want to do ever since I first saw a picture of a manatee. And just, you know, they're just such incredible creatures, ancient creatures. And so I discovered a short distance from the place that we're here in Florida is actually the only place in the entire world where you can swim with wild manatees.
Wow.
So that was the best news ever. And we did that today. And, you know, they're just really, well, first of all, they're enormous. They're almost like small whales. And they really are very curious, and they really enjoy and appreciate interacting with humans. So essentially, you just have to get yourself near them, get in the water, and then just float around, and they come over to you. And that's exactly what happened. And I had this big, huge manatee come up underneath me and rub his back all along my entire body. This is a life-altering experience. And then a little baby manatee also came and floated underneath me and hung out for a while. So that was pretty fantastic. And then from there, we went to some of the most pristine water on the planet in these ancient aquifers in this area. And I have never seen water so beautiful, just shades of aqua, and so sweet. I've never seen anything like it. It comes pouring out of the ground at 64 million gallons a day in this one particular place where we were at. And so just to submerge yourself in that, I mean, you know, dinosaurs were swimming in this water here. This comes deep, deep, deep from within the earth and is super pure. It has never been touched by anything man-made. And that was just also incredibly fantastic. So I'm just actually coming off of both of those experiences freshly onto this call. Moments ago, I just left that aquifer and jumped on this very fun call.
Well, we're very blessed to have you, Taylor, with all that wonderful, fresh, beautiful energy. Quite a remarkable situation you've just entered into.
Yeah, it was extraordinary, really, and I'm honored to be here. And thrilled to have you back, Mr. McIntosh. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be home again here on the islands. Wonderful.
Yay. Aloha.
Yay. Hey, bro. How you doing?
Top form, brother. Top form. Absolutely awesome. Fresh.
Aloha, Mr. Good.
Aloha, dear Taylor. Fresh off the Jasmine weekend. We had a couple of superheroes came in. It was totally awesome. Yeah, super high vibing times. And Jasmine's download was absolutely incredible. And no bullshit, as usual, from that lady. And, yeah, we're just appreciating it so much. And her main message was for the alleviation of suffering in humanity was to use your voice and tonal frequencies to sing your soul song, to sing your own unique soul song, which is a blend of the Song of Sorrow, the sorrow, so you have empathetic resonance with all the souls that are suffering in the world, which is tremendously empowering. You sing the Song of Sorrow once, and then you sing the Song of Love and the Song of Joy. And I've been incorporating that into my Angel Qigong practices, and I've also been incorporating it right into the front line in my consultancies as well this week. And it's just an amazing, amazing piece, because obviously we're all very concerned about the world, and we're also, fully aware of the eternal nature of life, regardless of the destruction of forms, the power of God, the love of God, the amazing grace, the salvation that there is in the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be able to sing that song of joy and that song of love. But it's when you lose touch with that, your empathetic resonance with the suffering souls in the world, that you become dissociated from your humanness to a great degree. And so we practiced that a lot this weekend together with Jazz Mahim. We had about, 80 or 100 people during the course of the weekend. And a lot of us were singing our soul songs. And it's just a wonderful, 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 wonderful experience. So, yeah, I'm feeling good and stoked to be on the call.
That's beautiful to
hear.
Well,
that's fantastic that several superheroes made it out there. That's a superhero journey. I really want to acknowledge those that took on such a mission, and I'm sure they were richly rewarded for doing so.
Yeah, Kauai, and just the distance and the vibes here, and meeting with Nick and Jasmine Hina, that's a serious upgrade right there. It's funny being away for a while and then coming back, noticing how far away this island actually is for a start, and just what it's like here, having not been here for a while. So I've been in a lot of cities, and very different reality going on. It's kind of cities are mostly man-made structures with a few parks here and there, and Kauai is like the absolute opposite of a city. So we're so blessed to be surrounded with beautiful natural form and natural energy. So I'm extremely grateful to be back here. So, should we have a look at these wonderful questions from our superheroes? Here's a good one from Donna. What is the single most important thing to do right now?
Awesome question. Love it. That's talk about cut the bullshit, get to the point. What's the single most important thing to do right now? I love that question. Thank you so much for asking that, Donna. My own personal recipe for now is to be certain above all doubt, to live from that certainty within you. In superhero training, we call it Nizche. It's one of the oldest Sanskrit words, ancient language, probably before Sanskrit. And it's the knowingness that exists within you, the certainty of who you are in terms of your eternal nature, your original nature, your pure nature, the nature that God made, how you were created perfectly in the image and likeness of God, that vibrational frequency. To be certain, above all doubt, no matter what your personality gets up to in the Muppet show we call the world, or, what you see, things going on around you, to be certain, above all else, of who you actually are. I'd say that's the anchor for the now moment, is that certainty, that burning nizche. That's the anchor. And then all around that, just to be filled with the softest love for your spiritual connection to this great, great, wonderful, benevolent life presence, and radiating that out all around you into the field that you're experiencing your reality in. That would be my equation for what to do now. Be certain of who you are. Know who you are, Nizjay, and love for God and love for everything and everyone around you. But that love that is soulful. It's a soulful love. It's not this bullshit new age, flipping manipulative. Oh, I love you. We love you. Blah 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 blah. So superficial. It's rooted in a soulful, empathetic resonance with the souls that suffer in this world. That means you're real. You're coming from a real place. Because when we lose our sympathetic resonance with suffering in the world, we become a false kind of a person, dissociated from our full humanness, and we don't want that. We want to be fully in the frequency, fully singing the soul song, and part of it is the soulful deep sorrow that there is in the soul is a beautiful, 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 beautiful deepening place. It allows you to really come from the roots of your being, and then from there you can really stand authentically in your love for life, love for humanity, love for God, love for the earth, love for nature, and rejoice in that with your song of joy, which is your heart, the presence of your glowing heart, because you know who you are. You're a real human being, and you are in love with this amazing process that we're going through. That would be my golden recipe.
What's your golden recipe, Taylor? That was fantastic sharing from Brother Nick there.
Well, it's fantastic. Mine would be to simplify immediately everything in your life and to be at peace, be at peace, be in peace with whatever it is and wherever you are and whatever it is that you, wherever it is you find yourself. So that really coming from that there's no place to get to, nothing you need to do, nothing that has to be put into order, but rather you are at peace. You know, similar to what Nick was saying, but it's a profound sense of being at peace. And that's a powerful distinction to quickly shift into, to ask yourself the question, am I being at peace right now? Do I feel peaceful? Because that's a distinct feeling multidimensionally in the system, that once you embody, then everything can shift. And so those would be my two recommendations. Simplify. Look at what you really can right away eliminate and let go of in your life. And then also practice being at peace in the moment, in living in now, just right now. Not that you have to wait someday to get there, but each moment, call yourself into being at peace.
That's beautiful. Nick has shared some fantastic higher consciousness attitudes and awarenesses, and Taylor's shared some practical and how to be in the now and simplify, complementing that. And one thing that has actually remarkably changed my life recently on an extremely high level, to the point that I actually feel, honestly, like I'm not in the same world that I was before I left this island. It honestly seems like this is an entirely different reality. It's quite a strange feeling to have. And what I've done, which I would recommend anyone does right now if they haven't already done this, which is kind of going a little bit more detail into what Taylor was saying, actually, Taylor was saying simplify your life, so work out what you don't need and what you do need. I recommend that you work out two very specific things that you can start doing every day. And of course, it goes out of the now, because you're going to be talking about days here, but something you can do right now to get your life on a way different level. Work out what is a ritual that you can do every day that brings you massive amounts of joy. It could be anything. It could be walking in nature, resting, yoga, meditation, and make it the most completely over-the-top, fantastic, enjoyable, deeply, deeply nourishing thing you could possibly think of, you know, something like Angel Qigong. And then get yourself an accountability partner who you will pay money to if you don't do that thing every single day. And what you'll find is magically you have the power to do all these things that you know you should be doing and you know are going to change your life but haven't been doing all these years. All of a sudden, your ability to actually live the life you want is going to appear today, and it's going to keep happening every day, again and again and again and again and again, possibly for the rest of your life. So you'll instantly be on the next level of your evolution. And I've been experimenting with this myself, and my lifestyle and my level of consciousness and where I'm hanging out in my awareness of everything is such a hugely different level. And it's such a simple thing, but I've just worked out what is important for me, blocked it into chunks of time, and if I don't do any of those things, I'm going to give somebody some money to just say, all right, I don't have to do any of this stuff. I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'll put my energy where my mouth is and make it happen. And all of a sudden, my daily moments of now is just supercharged, hardcore, right from the moment I wake up till I go to sleep. Absolute clarity and focus and meaning and enjoyment and wonder consistently throughout the entire day, no matter what's going on, because it's very, very, very clear. So that's been a huge shift personally for me. And if anyone wants any more information on what I'm talking about in more detail, just send us an email or something, and I'll create something to go deeper into this. I just wanted to share that. I'm quite excited about it.
I'd just like to say, bro, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What Mike's saying there about, you know, basically choosing what brings you joy, and I think the fact that even the stuff that brings us joy that we absolutely love to do and we know is the best for us, for some extraordinary reason, there's so many complexes and programming and conditioning and habitualized tendencies within us that we actually have to pay people to help us do the things that we want to do. You know what I mean? Like be accountable and then, you know, come around. If you like getting up early in the morning and training, come around and make you get up out of bed, or make you get up and go surfing. I gladly pay someone to come around and get me out of bed before dawn every morning to go surfing instead of just lazing about in there. And it really just catches a really important point, the repetition, instilling new habits. That's what superhero training is all about. We can have all these wonderful aspirations, but until we've really instilled it in us and we are living, doing these joyful things every day, we can't possibly shift into these higher gears of ourselves. It's just not possible. So this is wonderful, wonderful stuff Michael's talking about here.
Yeah, and just want to just talk about that. It's like I have, just being completely transparent with everyone, because it's family here, I have had the arrogance that because I've been doing all this stuff for so many years and I'm like, you know, hardcore and I've been getting up really early and blah, 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 and I've already got certain things set up in my life, that I don't need any help from anyone else. There's this sort of spiritual ego that I don't need help from other people. But the truth is, I'm as full of shit as everyone else, and I have weaknesses that I can't overcome by myself, even if they're like really simple things. And so the human ego just doesn't want to budge at all, and it's not ever going to budge because it doesn't want to. So I've just found to say, okay, get down on my knees, be humble. just say, all right, look, this is what I want to do. If I don't do it, I'm going to give you $100, you know. Right, and it's so simple. So far, I haven't had to give anyone any money, but I've just, and it's not that I even care and it's not that it even matters, but just somehow having some external force involved, some external connection, just I don't know, it's a miracle to me. It's a miracle how easy it is to do what we love all of a sudden. So yeah, Nick, you know, so if you want to do that with me, bro, then I'm not sure I could go around to Snowyland every morning, get you out of bed, but... That's a slightly more challenging thing to do, but yeah, just however we can work that out for anyone, it's great. And when it comes to people on Superhero Training, we used to have accountability partners, but people weren't actually honest, and they weren't showing up for each other, a lot of them, and it was just became a chit-chat, pointless thing that didn't work. But if anyone wants to do it with another person, then all you do is you say, here's exactly, specifically what I want to be doing every day. And you work out something where you maybe have to email them every day, whether you did it or not. And if you didn't, then they, you know, you've got their information. You have to send them some cash. That's it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be money, but money is just an easy thing. And somehow we equate losing money as a big problem for us. So we generally go along with that. That one little step, all of a sudden, being specific about what it is that you want to do and then having some accountability, miraculously, you're going to be able to do all these fantastic things that you've been wanting to do for years, every single day of your life, without any problem all of a sudden. So it's, I just think it's just the most miraculous thing ever, so I'm all very excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to jump in to say this is an age-old formula for success. Is to be held accountable, is to have someone with whom you are accountable to, especially in business or any project that you want to move forward, anything you want to actually put in time and have be real, is the minute that you have a committed listener or someone who's committed, as committed or even more committed to what you're committed to, then you are, you always succeed. And that's the key. You just can't pick some random person. The person who's going to want to be your accountability partner actually has to be more committed to your success than you. Because clearly, if you were committed to your success, you wouldn't need an accountability partner. You just go off and do it. So you want to have a conversation with someone who is you're very certain that they are absolutely committed to you succeeding with whatever it is you're committing to, and they're holding you accountable for. And that's the real key in having success there, and it doesn't matter what it is. In business, I find it's essential, and it's the only thing that I have found that works to move projects forward with velocity, is to have very clear goals that you're holding or someone is holding someone accountable for, and they know at the end of the day if X, Y, and Z didn't happen, then they're going to be accountable to such and such, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. Or that there's some real juice in it for them. It doesn't even have to be that they have to pay money or there's some negative consequence, but rather another possibility is they just really win. That by getting it done, their partner wins. The person that they're being accountable to wins. And that's kind of a whole other level, but that's very exciting. So that what has people be motivated to accomplish their task is actually the person that's holding them accountable for the task succeeds, and they're accomplishing the task. And I find this is a very important formula for relationships. You know, all the relationship counseling I do, one of the first things we get very clear about is who's accountable for what in the relationship. You know, because there's a whole lot of unclarified assumptions in most every single relationship that so-and-so is accountable for this or that or the other thing. But mostly it's all unclear. And so to just get very strong boundaries and clarity around accountability and intimate relationships can be miraculous in and of itself. Just miraculous. You know, the very things like Nick was saying that we want to do more than anything, you know, get up, exercise, make a green smoothie, you know, who better to support you in that than the person that's living with you? If they're really on board for that and you can create some exciting opportunities to be held accountable to one another for, that's actually a win-win situation. And that's, of course, a challenge. Because often couples are in these dynamics where all they do is make each other wrong whenever the person doesn't do the things they know they're committed to do. But this is really the dynamics of the relationships of the new paradigm of what we're moving into, that 1+1 equals way more than 2, that by coupling with someone that's a committed partner to your commitments, you can actually far succeed. You know, when Jeff asked me to marry him, and I said, why? Why do you want me to marry you? And he said, because together we can go much further than we could go on our own. You know, I was like, well, okay, I like that idea. And that's exactly what's possible when you get into that kind of a committed relationship with someone that really is going to hold you to account for where you want to excel in your life. And that's totally exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phenomenal.
Can do anything if they're supportive and committed and on the same page. It's just remarkable. And I'd say, you know, what Taylor's saying is fantastic. And the main thing for anyone who wants to do this is just try different things. The bottom line is, if the things that you're wanting to do are happening consistently and you're on it, then whatever you're doing is working great and there's no need to change anything. And if for whatever reason not happening, try a different version, because we've given you a few different options here. But end of the day, what works for you personally? And because once you've got a new habit, after about 30 to 40 days, it's going to be deep in your natural rhythm and you'll be able to do it easily. So just realize that's why you're doing these things, is so that you become a different person. Your actual habitual way of being and your tendencies and consciousness has been altered permanently, and that's the whole point of all these training. So have fun with it, and we might have to add some stuff about this in the training at the beginning, because it's just, I'm realizing how powerful it is. So anyway, just want to share. Thank you, Taylor, for sharing that.
Thank you, you guys. Got any questions, mate?
Yes, so let's have a look. We got one from Marriott in London. Aloha. I mainly wanted to say thank you. Just been promoted at work again, and I'm living a wonderful dream and right on target with everything on my vision board. Magical. So that's fantastic. Round of applause for Marriott. We love hearing people's visions coming true. Such a joy. And recently, however, she says, I did go through an emotional trauma. I called it the Angel Qigong Purge.
where it happened about 3 weeks after I started that. I was very emotional and weepy and not sure why. Now it's cleared. I find all my meditations have become supercharged and my life has really taken off. Just wanted to ask about the emotional upheaval and encourage others that may experience the same to keep at it and not be discouraged. I had to stop all meditating for about a week while it cleared and take some time off. Can we have your thoughts on emotional purging and what to do when it gets heavy going? Much love and to everyone. Thank you, Mariette, London. What a beautiful question.
Yeah, wonderful. And it's perfectly natural, emotional release, because this is where all the stuff is. This is where all the stuff is. It's in our feeling. In our feeling body, there's so much pain in there and vibrational tension, because we are vibrational beings, and every thought we think and every word we say, every feeling we feel, all the actions we take cause vibrations, and of course these vibrations are stored within us, and if they're discordant, then they're buried deep within us. And it's not just our stuff, it's our parent stuff and our ancestors' stuff, because we're souls. And there's nothing more sensitive than a soul. A soul's like this tiny and perfect little membrane that just houses the spirit of life in there. And that membrane records everything, all the vibrations of its experiences. And so when we begin these very powerful practices, whatever they are, Angel Qigong is definitely one of them, you're treating yourself in a completely different way. You're becoming soul conscious, you're using your whole body to move and breathe and to imagine in very, 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 very powerful intentions which reorganize your psyche. That means it reorganizes, it restructures the wiring in your psyche. It's like the invisible wiring of the soul, the way it's wired up. When you do these spiritual practices, is it rewires everything in a perfect way? And of course, we can see this, we can map this, and very, very clearly, science can, by looking at the brain. When you're in these altered states of consciousness and these feelings of compassion and what have you, and you can literally see through the repetition, day after day after day after day, cracking through 21 days, going into 40 days, you can see all the neurology literally rewiring itself. That means nerves, neurons, neural pathways, literally wires with electricity running through them, will disconnect themselves from where they're plugged into that part of the brain and reconnect with another part of the brain, creating new neural pathways and new neural structures, a new neural net, which allows a different kind of energy experience to go through your body, your organs, your glands, and your cellular structure, which makes you healthier, happier, and more creative, more magnetic. But on an invisible level, it's just reflecting something that's occurring on an invisible level that you can feel through your subtle awareness, and we're literally upgraded through these practices, and the upgrade requires us to jettison old stuff, old baggage, old ideas, old belief systems, and very definitely old feelings, emotional baggage that we all have, and it's in our bodies, and it's in our cellular structure, and we just can release that very safely and gently, and it's a beautiful, 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 beautiful part of the process. So, and that's why, you know, I'm always encouraging the feeling element when we're talking about these, you know, doing meditations and stuff. It's, you know, I'm often use the phrase using the beauty of your tenderness to reach out to God in your meditations, in your yoga, in your communions, using the beauty of your own tenderness. That's who we are. We are that tenderness. We're exquisitely sensitive, tender, sublime creatures of such extraordinary beauty. And when you get in touch with the with that beauty, that's the, that is self-remembering. That is how we come to be able to experience the presence of God, through that self-remembering. And it's there's so much beauty and tenderness in this thing, because ultimately it's a love story that we're living. We have a, it's a love affair we have with our Creator. It's a love affair we have with life. It's a love affair we have with humanity, with each other. We're supposed to be, you know, experiencing the highest octaves of love. That's what we're yearning for as souls, the greatest feeling of love imaginable. And that's all, you know, that's the only thing we really want to feel. And so if you can bring yourself in that sort of orientation, you'll find there's all kinds of feelings to be felt and tears to be shed. And especially in this time that we're living in, and these natives, these indigenous people, the Kogis that brought this wisdom, they're not encouraging us to sing the song of sorrow and the song of love, you know, just for a joke. It's like it's from born out of a deep understanding into the nature of life and the vibrational nature of things, because these are the ones that that keep their children. When the children are born, they're born in a cave, and the mothers and the midwives and, you know, the women folk and the small communities, they live in the cave with the children. The children stay in the cave for 4 years. These particular people, these are the Kogi, they're from Colombia, and they were the ones that when the Spanish came and the conquistadors and the whole Roman Catholic religion invasion of South and Central America, when the Spaniards came over, they just started, you know, effectively genocide. They saw this coming, and they called the Spaniards little brother, and they said, little brother's got to do what little brother's got to do, but we're going away. And they retreated up into, you know, the very high mountains in Colombia, and they lived there in their own biosphere. But since you know, chemtrailing, global warming, all the manipulations of the weather, etc., their biosphere has been affected now by little brother. And so they come down the mountain, and they came to one of Jasmine's events together and to bring her up there. And so they took her back there, and she stayed with them for a good long while and did a bunch of ceremony with them. Their medicine men, the real spiritual elders and the spiritual leaders of the tribe there, they spend 36 years in the cave. 36 years. So they don't come out into the daylight for the first time in their lives till they're 36 years old. And so their sensitivity to vibration is so developed that Jazz told me that when she got there, she sat down with the medicine man, and he gave her a piece of string, and he said, blow onto that piece of string. And she blew onto the piece of string, and then she gave it back to him, and he put it into his palm of his hand, and he read her completely. He knew everything about her from her breath on this string. And these are the ones that sent her down with the message to sing, tell everyone to sing the song of sorrow, the song of love, and the song of joy. So what the point is that vibrations are absolutely critical. Every thought, every word, every action, and it's all stored in there, and we can reharmonize, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. All of this selfless service and this philanthropic attitudes and people being inspired to create beautiful systems and centers and this, that, and the other for the betterment and upliftment of humanity, it's all movement in the direction of reharmonizing the human race through acts of kindness and love and sharing and caring for each other, instead of this, you know, nonsense that we've all been trapped in for long enough. So this is, it's all about reharmonizing and dissolving old discordant patterns, and sometimes that involves releasing them emotionally, but you don't have to be stuck in the story, and you don't want to be stuck in the story. And one of the things that I was doing, integrating into it, and this is not what Jasmaheen told me to do or what the Kogis passed on, but it's my instinctive blending of my experiences with their wisdom. And this is what a truly empowered individual does. We don't just, you know, listen to someone that we put in the position of guru or, you know, that's it. Okay, now we just do this now. We blend it. We merge new information with the heights of our own understanding, and we blend attitudes and awarenesses together to forge our own very unique and utterly unique and individual spiritual practice, aka, you know, experiencing the love and the presence of the spirit of life, or God, or whatever you want to call it. And so this shedding of emotion, and especially if you're doing the Song of Sorrow and you're really kind of lamenting, in a way grieving for the suffering in the world, you don't want to be overwhelmed and you know, in the story of it, oh, you know, woe is me and woe is the world and all the rest. Somehow you have to bring yourself to a level of consciousness before you do this song, before you begin this song, where it's actually safe, where you're actually able to dissociate it from somewhat, because some, you know, when you're really in touch with the suffering of humanity and even our own personal suffering in our lives, if we really, you know, get too deep in there, it's an agonizing, overwhelming, dreadful, dreadful, dreadful experience. And we don't want to be feeling those feelings. It's not healthy to be, you know, carrying that stuff around. So what I do is I always drop into a bit of Archangel Qigong, which is sort of an advanced form of Angel Qigong. But it just basically means coming into these really, you know, ascending within yourself to these higher levels of consciousness where you can distance yourself from the world, including your physical form, your personality within it, and sing your song from there. And then it becomes a true soul song instead of kind of the ego's lament. So that's a long-winded answer to whatever that question was.
Nick's given his whole philosophy in life there in about 5-10 minutes. It's pretty good, bro. It's condensed version of everything. Yeah. I'll just share something quickly about emotions. I've been, for the last 3 months or something, about 3 months, 3 or 4 months, there's this book that I started reading by David Hawkins. I love David Hawkins' stuff. It's called Letting Go. Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender. And so basically in this book, and it's something I've known about and I've been doing anyway, but it's just really nice and clear how he says it. And I just thought, okay, let me just only focus on this for like a long time. I'm still doing it a lot. And basically, I just want to just backtrack a second. Anyone who does any real spiritual practice at all, and they look at themselves and they sit in silence, is guaranteed to get a good kicking. Absolutely 100% guaranteed to get a damn good kicking. And if you don't get one, you know, emotional stuff coming up and crazy things happening in your life, it means nothing's changing. So I've been teaching meditation 15 years, and every time I ever have any groups with anyone, they all come back the next week, pretty much, guaranteed, and say, oh, this thing happened, it doesn't work, on my mind's all over the place, I'm feeling annoyed. And so we just have to accept that we're definitely going to have a purging. There's no doubt about it. And we just have to embrace that because, you know, if we hope that that's not the case, then we're going to be disappointed. And so when these emotions come up, what David Hawkins says, and something I've been practicing, it's been very powerful, is you basically just sit there, you
or you can stand or whatever, but just don't run away from yourself. Don't eat food and don't take drugs or drink alcohol or go for a swim or anything. Just be with the emotions 100% without any interest at all in changing the emotion whatsoever. Completely say, all right, I'm going to feel this feeling completely as it is, and I'm going to not only do that, I'm going to say, give me more of it, give me more of it, give me more of it. I'm just going to have the whole thing hardcore. And that can be extremely challenging because depending on the emotion, it can be very painful. And then on top of your emotions, you might also be feeling guilty about having emotions, because a lot of the time, like if we're angry or depressed or irritated, we might think, I should know better, I shouldn't be guilty, why am I angry, you know? So you got the emotion plus guilt about the emotion on top of it, which makes it even worse. So that's kind of a messy situation to be in, and it's extremely uncomfortable. But what happens is if you don't deny it and don't try and stop it, first of all, realize that you'll probably, if you are guilty about the emotion, then just surrender the guilt. Just say, okay, I accept the fact that I'm guilty about this. I accept the fact that I think I shouldn't be angry or irritated or whatever. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm doing the best I can. It is what it is. You know, just complete acceptance of the fact that this emotion you're having is happening, you know. Complete radical honesty that this is going on and nothing I can do about it, and it's there. Once that happens, the guilt tends to go away and you're left with the actual emotion itself. Then just sit with the emotion and just feel the feelings and don't try and change the feeling. And this is what I've noticed, when I stop resisting the feeling, when I stop resisting the anger, resisting the guilt, shame, the, you know, upset, whatever it is, jealousy, ego, envy, it could be any kind of emotion. What I find is there's this bubbling joy that starts coming up from within me, underneath all of it, and it's like this wonderful bubbling feeling that comes up until the point that I'm actually cracking up and laughing. And in an ecstatic state of joy and just profound relief. And it's one of the most priceless experiences ever. You know, and I have these quite a lot because there's a lot of stuff to clear. And it's just such a joyful thing to do. And we just need to have the courage to not run away from our feelings and know that behind all of that there's a higher consciousness behind it, you know, because we're all spiritual beings, we're all good, and you just allow that to come up and disappear like a cloud. And what you're doing essentially is surrendering the emotion to God, or surrendering to a higher power or the universe, whatever word you want to use, but there's a higher being or there's an energy that you're letting it go to. I'm letting it go, I'm allowing and letting go. I kind of imagine it like the feeling is as if it's in my hand. I'm as if holding it up to the light, saying, here it is. I'm not pretending this isn't here. I'm just going to stand here with this, my hand out with this thing. And sooner or later, it's going to dissipate and be taken up, taken away. And it might take the time. I sometimes just spend like 2 hours just lying down on bed in agony. Until I finally experience profound joy. So, you know, that's kind of ties into what Nick was saying. But that's just a very specific practice. And try it for yourself, you know. Having said that, if you're in an extreme emotional state and you're suicidal, that might not be the best thing to do because, you know, that could lead to other things if you can't actually do this. So I recommend starting with an emotion that's not that extreme, you know, when you're not in the pits of hell. I mean, that's a little bit of a different game.
Well, I'd like to just tag on here. There's no doubt that if you've placed yourself in a spiritual evolutionary life to evolve yourself, with commitment to evolve yourself, that mental, emotional, and spiritual purging can go on, and physical, since we are a multidimensional beings after all. And like Michael says, to not expect that is just not being well prepared to enter into that adventure. And really, that's the best thing as leaders of light and teachers of light we can do with those that are wishing to move into these spaces of exploration is to prepare them well. You know, as I always say over and over again, it's all in the setup. But I find that if you really are well prepared, and then an upset comes up, you actually see it as what something you're already kind of waiting for. You see it as, wow, okay, this is the best news ever. This is a really good sign that I'm on the right track. I knew this was going to happen. I was told this would happen. This and other things like it, like, for example, every perhaps belief that you had, is you find yourself questioning or shattering. You know, I find that what often happens when you get onto these paths, such as the superhero training, is that your entire mental and emotional, your mental grid work, and I'm going to call it emotional flow, are disabled, which in most cases they need to be anyhow, because as Nick said, most of it's inherited stuff that you didn't even choose, have any choice about. So it's, you want to really embrace it as well as that's good. I can really see this as old stuff. This isn't really me anyhow. Like Michael's saying, when things come up, to really look and see, well, hold on a minute. Like, where did this even come from? I mean, is this something I even chose to be in my multidimensional system to begin with? That's then very easy to let go, because in probably 99.5% of the cases, the answer will be no. I didn't. And that there is a place where you can get to where you have emotional flow and mental stability. And by that I mean you are stable. You're humming along. You have reached a place where you have let go of that which doesn't serve you, emotions which really weren't yours to begin with, and you're the master of your universe. You are the master. You have gone to that place. You know, there's this one spiritual mentor I have, and he always starts off these conferences we go to, and he'll say something like, all right, well, we aren't going to spend a whole lot of time, you know, talking about this kind of thing, because, you know, I'm clear all of you have already evolved past emotional upsets or mental discourse. And every time he says that, there's a ripple in the room. But what is very clear to me that is that he's standing in a place where that is so. That's so for him. And initially, when I started working with him, that seemed like such a long, I was like, whoa, how can you, well, that's just impossible. How can you, like, is he serious? Is this some kind of joke? But now, to me, it's very clear that state of emotional flow and mental stability is a attainable and ongoing practical place to be in as a spiritual being of light in the physical form. And it what I want to just say is, it doesn't necessarily mean if you are on a spiritual path of evolution, you're always going to be, you know, having to deal with emotional purging and it's going to be heavy and blah, blah, blah. No, there is a place that you'll actually arrive at where you will have a level of mastery, and you won't want to spend time being upset or being in those spaces anymore. Just it's not even necessary. You can, in a matter of minutes, be able to shift quickly. You really are the master of of your dimensionality, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, or mental. And that's the game, is to be able to have that level of consciousness. What we're here to do as human beings is manifest and build consciousness. That's it. That's the whole reason we arrived on the planet. And building consciousness with ourselves is the first task, is to turn our consciousness and awareness onto ourselves, our multidimensional beingness, and look at, like, what the heck is in here anyhow? Like, what is this thing called me? And what's it made of? And, you know, pick and choose. Well, you know, I don't really like this. I like this. Until you get to a place where it's like, yeah, this feels pretty good. You know, I'm humming along here. And and that's obtainable. And I just want to say that, you know, because I think it's important to know that, that's the mission, really, as a superhero. And then secondly, you know, just in answer to your question, what do you do when the going gets heavy? I find the quickest way to shift heavy emotional feelings is to move, is to exercise, is to get your body moving. It's almost impossible to be upset if you're moving. If you really are, you know, doing whatever it is you like to do as a form of exercise, getting out in nature, and that helps just move it out of your system. If everything else you've tried isn't working, you know, go jump in the ocean, go do angel qigong, whatever it is. And, you know, that's a pretty surefire formula I have found, anyways, for quickly shifting into another state of being. And oftentimes, in another state of being, it may be easier than to have more clarity, whatever it was that you thought was heavy, and not really see it heavy at all.
Awesome. So rich. So rich. Thanks so much, Taylor. Thanks so much, Michael.
I just wanted to quickly say something about what Taylor said about how we, also, you know, it's not as if we're going to have to deal with all these crazy emotions over and over and over, and there's no end to it. What I've personally found is that the more I just do these processes of letting go and owning my emotions and, like, letting them go, after a while, there's not much left in there, you know, because basically once we've looked at it enough times and let it go enough times, the job is done. I mean, there's obviously still deeper and deeper and deeper, but this isn't some. If you really do the inner work, really and truly, then you've done it. Like, there's no point in doing it for no reason. So it gets less and less and less and less and less. My upsets nowadays are very massively reduced from what they were years ago because I've been doing this more and more and more, and they don't last as long, and I can handle them much easier. So it's just good to know, like Taylor was saying, that it's going to fade away. And also, Taylor reminded me of something that I learned recently, and I experienced it recently as well, that moving, I don't think moving should replace doing the inner work, because if all you do is do that, then you're in trouble, so you're not actually looking at your stuff. But if you're just wanting to shift the energy, it definitely works, because apparently a sustained increased heart rate, if you sustain your heart rate being at a higher pace by doing some hardcore exercise, it's going to shift your emotions better than anything else will. So that is good to know. But, like, not just light-hearted exercise, but really going for it, like going for a run up a hill. You know, I did it this morning. I ran up the Secrets thing, and it was, you know, it kind of knocked me out a little bit. But I felt so good afterwards, just to really get that heartbeat and the lungs fully activated. And, yeah, so something strenuous, sustained strenuous exercise that really moves the heart will shift it. But, and there's been tons of studies on that.
So with all this information from Nick and Taylor and myself, there's no need for anyone to be upset very long anymore.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah, yeah. And it's, and you know, we're all different as well. Some of us are real empaths, and we really function through our feelings. And so we're going to be, you know, feeling more things than other people are. But in any case, don't be wallowing in it. There's no need to wallow in it. I used to have a girlfriend who every full moon she would go out onto the rocks and basically sit there all night wailing and grieving all night. And I'd be like trying to get to sleep in bed, and then she'd like come in like 4 o'clock in the morning and like be snuggling up and blowing in my ear, you know. She was in the zone, and that was just her thing. Was she would grieve. She was one of those old souls, you know, it's kind of shamanic energy, and she would grieve for humanity on the full moons. But she was a very joyful being and loving being. But you know, that's not everyone's cup of tea. And even if you are, you know, kind of, you know, really identified with the suffering of humanity, get over it as quick as you can and get into that place of spiritual love and absolute liberation and joy. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to literally whistle and always look on the bright side of life while we're being crucified, because nothing can touch the superhero consciousness. It can't get to you. The world can't get to you. We're just too full of the good stuff. And there's 99.999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 So it's only this little tiny fragment of reality that's got all the trouble in it anyway. So it's coming from these higher perspectives that helps us be able practically to deal with these, you know, these big chunky things. And that's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Yes, let's just be happy and enjoy our lives. We've probably got another question, actually. Let's just have a look here. Here we go. I think this is one for Uncle Nicholas. Could you explain to me in a very simple way what is quantum physics? From Nicole in Vancouver.
In a very simple way, what is quantum physics? Okay,
yeah.
Quantum physics. Physics is a science. It's the science of the quantum. That means basically the mapping and understanding of how virtually invisible particles move and do their thing. But all of it is just a deeper understanding, a scientific perspective into the underlying structure of what we could call the universe or reality. There's an underlying wiring. There's an underlying movement of energy, flow of energy, distribution of energy. We can see it showing up in sacred geometry and the Fibonacci spirals. There's patterns to life, and these patterns on the quantum level are invisible to all but, you know, these physicists with these extraordinarily sensitive equipment. But it's all it is just a basic understanding of the invisible workings, the mechanics of creation. And it takes you in a good direction of wonderment, but it does nothing whatsoever for acquainting you with the love of God. It brings you into a state of wonder because it's so absolutely wondrous, but you have to go past quantum physics into heart communion and cellular communion with your divinity, and that's a feeling experience. And science is never going to be able to quantify that, or you know what I mean, do anything at all towards it, because it's nothing to do with the mental realm. So that's my basic short definition.
Great. Well, hopefully that makes sense to you, Nicole. And, you know, if you really want to learn about these things, then unfortunately they are a little bit complicated. So you might have to do some research on it. And there's a great book, by the way, if you're interested in delving deeper, called Punk Science. Punk Science. I can't remember the name of the author. It's a yellow book with a kind of crazy-looking atom on the front. And it explains in a easy-to-understand language what is really going on with all this weird science stuff that is baffling. So anyone interested in how this magical realm of the world is working on the scientific level, Punk Science is a damn good book to read. And that's all right. We got another question. Dear Nick, Michael, and Taylor, I would love to ask you about the deeper meaning of celebration and why it's so important for ourselves. I found myself often in situations where I do not really celebrate my success of growing or developing or changing life situations for the better. I was thinking it was my job to do so and went straight to the next point. I was also thinking maybe it has something to do with the country I grew up in, the traditions. Thank you so much for your deep understanding and support and all that you share for us. So much love and blessings to you and all the work you share with us unconditionally. Sigrun from Germany. Which is basically, why is celebration so important to celebrate your success? Well, if no one else is sharing, I'll just share something quickly. Basically, what happens is we come up with these fantastic, you know, wonderful visions and goals and ideas, and we're all excited about them, and we're moving forward to you know, make our lives better and upgrade and evolve. And then when we actually get the thing we have been working towards, we generally don't consider it a big deal. And don't even realize that we've done it. And then we're on to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. And then life becomes this series of goals and outside things and future happiness. And we're never really aware of how remarkable we are and how wonderful life is and how what a wonder and what a magic it all is. And there's actually a scientific reason for this, because when we're actively searching for things, when we're moving towards a goal, you know, taking steps towards something we want, our brain releases dopamine chemicals. So we get a dopamine hit by moving towards a goal. But when we get the thing we want, we don't get the dopamine release, which is quite interesting, actually. And that's a deep psych, you know, biological thing to help us to make sure we move forward in life and don't die. You know, it kind of goes back to what, you know, us just surviving. It's the survival mechanism. So we need to, so you don't get the feeling. It's like when you buy something and you finally get it, it's like it's a letdown normally, because the idea of having it was better than the thing itself. So the reason we want to celebrate is mainly to appreciate ourselves and acknowledge what's going on and bring consciousness and awareness to our life and to our creation and to our success. And that's, you know, that's such a joy. And what that does, it builds confidence and it builds appreciation for ourselves, and it just builds a higher level of gratitude and a higher level of trust in life and in the universe, so that when we look back on life and we remember all these celebrations we've had, and let's say you're having a hard time and things aren't looking like they're going to work out and you're feeling weird, you can look back and you can say, no, actually, look at all these celebrations I've had. Look at all the things I've actually achieved so far in my life. This situation is going to work out as well. Everything's going to be fine. And I know it is going to be because I've got this memory and this confidence and this awareness and, you know, appreciation and knowingness that it's going to be fine. And I think that's part of the reason that it's so important. And not only that, it's just fun to celebrate things anyway, you know, and just it's an opportunity to share your love and appreciation with people and just be stoked about things. So there's many benefits on it, but I think on a deeper level, it's just so when you look back on life, you realize that you've been constantly upgrading and to learn to trust in life on a higher level. That's just a thought I have about it.
Well, you know, I find that celebration is essential and key, really. And I celebrate as many things as possible all the time. I'm always looking for reasons to celebrate. Life is a celebration, really. I mean, just waking up every morning in and of itself is truly a reason to celebrate. Pain-free, you know, that's a big reason to celebrate. Getting doing your rituals. That's a reason. You know, there's endless reasons, and we aren't really, many of us haven't really been bred with the distinctions, appreciation, celebration, and acknowledgement. You know, unfortunately, we weren't taught these distinctions in school. And so it is an area that I find many humans lacking on in general. And not high level mastery in. And so I really always look at the opportunity to embrace how to get even better at celebration and appreciation and acknowledgement. You know, I have this one friend who every time I call her, essentially she spends most of the call, every time I talk to her, acknowledging me. And it's almost impossible for me to acknowledge her more than she acknowledged me. Even though every time I would say, okay, you know what, this time it's going to happen. Never does. She just always, she's masterful at it. I'm always really intrigued by that. And so I encourage celebration, and I always encourage completion. And like Michael was saying, it's key because, you know, we can't just go from one thing to another and never really have any experience of accomplishment. And there is something called a full circle of completion. And this, again, is a very powerful concept that, you know, things have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And if we look at each thing we do like that, each conversation we have like that, each project that we're working on, each whatever it is we're up to, having a beginning, middle, and end, and then being able to have time to appreciate and acknowledge, that's a very powerful distinction right there in and of itself. And so, yes, I feel that there's a great deal of joy and beauty induced in taking that on as a practice, is mastering those things right there.
Anything you want to share, Nick? All right. So, I feel like, I think that's it. That's all the questions for this week. So, yeah, celebrate. You know, we I mean, really, ideally, life in itself is a celebration, rather than you having to even do anything in a way. I mean, rituals are extremely important because they make a mark in our awareness of it's a demarcation of something that we remember and is real and it's now and it signifies something to us. But ideally, along with the rituals of celebration specifically, live your life as a celebration, because my honest feeling is that if you work out what you need to do with your life and you start doing it every day and use accountability if you need to, and I recommend you do because it's so much easier, what you'll find is that every moment of your day and your life is in itself an act of celebration, because you truly love your life and you truly love what you're doing now, and you truly love what you're doing now again and again and again and again all day long, and then in the next day and then the next day and the next day. And that's what we want for you for the Sibiyaro training, for you to love your life from morning till evening, and even your dreams are just fantastic. That's what really we're going for with this training. So celebrate anything that helps move you forward, and then have the intention that your life itself is a feeling of celebration and joy, because that's what it's going to become. So thank you everyone, and I do want to acknowledge Taylor specifically, because Taylor is somebody who, and I didn't realize this until I became more evolved, because Taylor is a highly evolved person, and she is able to bring consciousness to every single detail of things that most people don't even know, and they're even there. And so how Taylor walks into a room, or how she opens a door, or how she opens a cupboard, or how she, you know, steps into a car, you know, or talks to somebody on the phone, or sends an email, or anything she's doing is considered and conscious. And that is such a rare thing to find. Most of us are unconscious and living in a dream world the whole time. Taylor has managed to actually remain awake and be aware of what is going on and what she's doing, and bring energy and focus and bring unconscious things into consciousness on such a high level that she should be given some sort of prize for it. So I just want to acknowledge Taylor for that, and for you to, when you listen to what she's saying, to understand that's where she's coming from, and read behind the lines, because she's not saying anything randomly. Everything is highly considered. So that's what we're all aiming for, is that level of clarity and focus and consciousness. And that's really what makes life rich, and not do anything slack and lazy and the easy way, but actually look at it, bring light to it, and transform it. So as you go through your week and next couple of weeks, just bring that awareness and have Taylor in mind, because she's an expert at it. And as you start seeing your life for what's really going on, behind what's going on, miracles will start happening. So I thank you, Taylor, for being such a shining example of that. I really deeply appreciate it. And I appreciate it more now that I've become clearer myself. I didn't notice it as much before. So I just wanted to share that from my heart to you.
Oh, thank you. That's the icing on the cake of my perfect day. And I'd like to have a reward. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you should get one. Is it your birthday today, Taylor? It's not your birthday, is it?
Actually, it's coming right up!
When is it?
Yes, August 25th.
There we go. Yeah, I knew it was coming up soon. I hoped it wasn't today, because that would have been a problem. So,
well, that would have been a perfect... Hey, listen, if it was today, that acknowledgement right there would have been... That would have been the best birthday gift ever, so...
It almost brings me to tears, actually, saying that, because it's such a priceless gift that you're bringing to the world.
Well, it's an honor to bring it, and what's even more of an honor is to have the forum and opportunity and partnership to share that with and field of appreciation. And it definitely brings me to tears and fills my heart with joy to be in that partnership with you and Nick and all of the superheroes. It's a true honor, and one that is, I take highly, is high on my list of really the best things in my life.
Thank you. Yes, it's a rare combination we've got going on here. Our little salad that we're creating, our feast between all of us together. And if it wasn't for all you superheroes, we would just be rambling to ourselves all day long. But we're very grateful to have you to connect with and see your transformation. So we're doing this whole thing because we've developed so many things in our lives and are so sort of amazed by what's possible that it's just our deepest joy to share all of our secrets and all of our experiences and all of our transformations and be completely honest with you guys about what's really going on, what the real deal is, and as a family, you know. So I hope you appreciate that, you know, we're just telling you it straight and not trying to sugarcoat anything, and, you know, just because we care about you guys, and there's so much misinformation and nonsense around in the world and that's going to lead you the wrong way. It's just a joy for us to be able to have this level of communication with you guys. So thank you for everyone in our tribe.
Amen.
All right. Well, look forward to connecting again next time. And as always, send us questions. Feel free to ask anything you like. You know, really go for it. Maybe if you want to ask a question, ask it now. You know where that box is. You just find the email, ask us a question. You know, if you have anything and you haven't sent us questions before, don't be shy, you know. If you don't want to leave your name, just don't leave your name, but we want to connect and help you and serve you. So go for it. And let's talk soon. All right, so much love and blessings from Hawaii and from Florida, is it Taylor?
Yes, aloha from
aloha.
The great aquafilters.
Talk to you soon. Aloha.